Well, let us return back to Elijah. And I certainly realize we don't see or know a lot about this man. And so I'm not making up stories as I go. There's certain assumptions I really feel you could consider. You could consider, and the Word gives you enough in this idea. Don't live your life by assumption. That's wrong just because I say that word. Elijah, I do not consider him a nobody, just an obscure character from Scripture that just steps and walks out onto the pages of Scripture, and he's a nobody. I do not believe that. I believe leaders and men of God are formed and shaped, and they grow. And God deposits on the inside of them, and he puts something on the inside of them. And as if they'll attend to it, if they'll consider God in all of their life, they will grow and will become the kind of men that God wants them to be, and they will do the will of God. And then they will accomplish all the purpose that God has put on the inside of them. So I look at Elijah in that kind of light. Jesus considered him and spoke about him. We looked at that in Luke chapter 4, that this is one of those moments in Scripture where this is that. Elijah was sent to a woman, a widow woman. You know, he was sent to her. And we're going to look at that today. God prepared this way. I've commanded. This is what we're going to read in Scripture. I'm not there yet. I've commanded a woman to take care of you. This widow woman is going to take care of him. So he leaves his place. We're going to get there. Just give me a second. I'm just saying, comparing this to Luke, comparing this to James, the inspiration is coming from James 5, that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. We consider that. So let's consider his life. And so we'll get into that right now. Here we go. Elisha is walking onto the pages of Scripture out of nowhere. I don't think he's out of nowhere. You say, how old is he? I don't know. It doesn't say. What has he gone through in life? What has he seen in life? You know, he lives in a government, in a culture, in a people group, in a time, in a town, just like you do. He's a man just like you are. He's in a time and place. Most likely, if I can refer to one of my notes here I have, most likely he was alive and born at the time of Rehoboam. Most likely. Because you can't learn these things in a minute. It takes a lifetime to grab a hold of these things. He's brought up in the time of Rehoboam and Jeroboam, just after Solomon's death. I'm not stretching this that far. To become a certain man, he's not a teenager when he walks up and he surprises the king. He's not some boy from the wilderness that comes up and says, oh king, I have a word from you. The king heard his word. The king respected him. The king feared him and revered him. His wife wanted to kill him, and he didn't have any problem with that either, the king. Ahab was just as fine if Elijah was dead. He was just as fine, because we know the king's attitude towards the prophets. This prophet ministry, as we talked about earlier, most likely, you choose to believe it or not, started in the time of Samuel. More prophets were rising in the land. The word of God was coming through the prophets. It was supposed to come from the priests. And I'm sure that there was a multitude of fantastic priests among the people. But we see definitely a huge corruption among the priesthood. We even see that today among leaders. Corruption. When corruption begins to get in the church, when it begins to get into government, it affects the people. So, big split, big division. Paul writes about this, being the unity of the Spirit. He saw in Scripture it's never good to be out of unity. It's always good to be in unity with one another and brotherhood in one another and love one another and be in faith with one another. That's always the best. That's what God's wanting. But this brought this huge division among this people. So let's build some calves. Let's begin to worship something else. This idea, this thought comes into their mind. Well, doesn't it happen to us? where we get distracted in life and we begin to attend ourselves into other things other than what God wants for our life. And this is fairly common to human nature. This is what's common to human nature. We get distracted. Sometimes, well, probably all times, it's sin for us. So here he is, Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, 41 years. Asa reigned 41 years. Well, Elisha was alive at that time. It even talks about it, connecting these two people together. Jehoshaphat, it connects these two people together. 25 years. This is how far we've come from David. This is this man, grew up in this, saw the slide and the wickedness come in, saw the people going away, most likely, you can choose to believe this or not. I'm not creating a doctrine here. Most likely, Elijah was very influential in teaching other prophets to hear God, to know the word of God. It's like, how can we possibly think that this great man of God never saw any scripture in his life? That is what I have a hard time believing. It's not supposing something because it's not written in chapter verse that he didn't have any access to any scripture. There was scripture written. What about the scribes? What about the prophets who had kept notes? And in the days of David, what were the influential prophets in David's life? The ones that spoke to David. Anybody remember any of them? Two specifically, Nathanael. Did you say that? Yes, Nathanael and Gad. They would write things down. They would bring the word of the Lord to the king. This is what the prophets were doing. David wrote Psalms. This is way past Psalms, not all the Psalms. David had Psalms written. He had Proverbs written. I think Elijah had access to that. I think he had access to the law. Let me just point out something I think very important. It's like, where did he get this idea? Oh, it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. But he just pulled that out of his hat. Oh, the Lord came to him and said, it's not going to rain. Well, can I show you? Let's just look at this real quick, just as a diversion. Deuteronomy chapter 11. This is what was already written. We already had these scriptures. Pastor Bill has used this for text in many cases, teaching your children, you know, the bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'll get there. Honestly, verse 13, it shall come about if you listen obediently to the commandment which I command you today. You with me? Deuteronomy 11. If you listen to this, I believe that Elijah read this and knew this. I think faith comes. Here's a thought. I'm going to keep going here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many of you have heard that before? Is that a New Testament thought? Or is that a spiritual principle? That shocked my thought process right there. That is a spiritual principle that is being, of course, brought to light in the New Testament, but always was. The thought of love, the thought of loyalty, the thought of faithfulness. It's always been. But here he goes. Faith comes by hearing. This is what we know. Deuteronomy 11. To love the Lord your God and to serve him and with all your heart, all your soul, that he will give you rain. This is the promise of God. This is wonderful. He will give you rain for your land, for its season, the early rain, the late rain, and you may gather your grain. Pay attention to the narrative, to the text. You'll gather grain, there'll be harvest. This is what God is doing for you. That you may gather your grain and the new wine, the oil. He will give grass in your fields. This will come up. This will be a subject that will come up. Hang tight. I'm going to try to get there today. He will give you grass in your fields for your cattle and you will be satisfied. Beware your heart is not deceived. This is a New Testament thought as far as I'm concerned. That your heart isn't deceived. Beware. This is what it says in the law. This is what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy. And that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. He's reading this. He knows what's happening. See, there's a consequence. Remember that word. Ha! Consequences. There's consequences to actions. There's consequences to thoughts. Always. Always this. Let's move forward. Beware that your hearts are not deceived, that your hearts do not turn away and serve other gods, which they were, or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you. What's he going to do? What is God going to do? He says what he's going to do. Doesn't God do what he says he's going to do? Always. He says here, he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. Just serve the Lord your God with all your heart, and all these blessings will come upon you, but you turn away. This is also tied in, if you're taking notes, to Deuteronomy 27, the curse, Deuteronomy 28, the blessing. These are tied to there. Elijah knew this. And the point that I think James is making is Elijah prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. And the Lord told him it wasn't going to rain, that this is going to come to pass in his day. And he went and met Ahab and told him he's going to shut up the heavens. He knew. He had faith in the word. He said, man, just like you, you have to have faith in the word of God. You get the word of God and faith is released because you know it's true. You know it's true because God's faithful. He will do this. This is what he will do for you. I will heal you. That's just, if I don't have that hope, if I don't have that promise, I heal all your diseases. I love it. He is good to us. He's a good father. This is what we know. So back to this. So here he is. He meets Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, says to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I stand. Well, this is what we know about him. He's a man who stands in the presence of God. And this is what you can be assured of. He stands there. Surely there will be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. The Lord told him it's time. This word is going to come to pass. What word? The word from Deuteronomy is going to come to pass, and he's shutting up the heavens. So then he tells him to flee, to run away, to go to this place, Carmel. I'm going to take care of you. Most of last week we talked about that. He gave him water, and he spent nearly 3 years up in this place, down at the brook at Cherith. So I'm moving forward. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, verse 8, then the word arise. He says, arise. Here's another word. So he lived on that word for a while. This is a principle. Pastor Bill has taught this many, many times. Living in the word, the current word, the present word. Brother Arthur Burt brought that. What did he call that, Pastor Bill? Prevailing word, a preceding word? Preceding word. Thank you, Bill. Preceding word of God to you, you live by that preceding word, and that's what he was doing. Now another word comes to him. The brook dried up. Okay, that's obvious. It's obvious I can't stay here. There's no more water here. Did the birds stop coming? I don't know. Maybe they did, but it doesn't say. He gave him a preceding word, and that's what he acted on. Here he went. This is what Jesus quoted. Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. If you don't know, this is just interesting stuff. This is the stuff that tickles my button. Sidon was a place where Jezebel was princess, right in her backyard. I just think God's funny that way. Right in her backyard. What we don't know yet, what's going to be revealed to us yet, is Jezebel's looking for him. Jezebel figures, I'll just kill all his friends. And she went about killing all the prophets. And we know that's true. We're going to see that in a minute, hopefully. And she's killing everybody, but she can't find him. And here he is in her backyard. I just find this hilarious. Which belongs to Sidon, and still, and stay there. This was his word to him. Go to Zarephath. Stay there. This just jumped out at me. This is like bold letters to me right here. I have commanded a widow. Who's the I? God, right? The Father. I have commanded. What did that look like? What did that sound like? I don't know. I just find it amazing. Do you think a widow is a person of means? Not at all. He never questions this. He never says, like, a widow? You got to be kidding me. Can't you send me down to, some rich guy's house or something? We always think the rich guy's got to take care of us, but no, he sends it to a widow, doesn't he? He sends him to a widow. He doesn't question it. He doesn't even think about it. There's nothing in here that leads me to speculate anything other than I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. This is fantastic. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, we got into some of this last week. A widow was gathering sticks. Oh, he's coming down. It's not like he was trying to find a wife. Ooh, which one is she, Lord? Which one is she? Which one of these widows is the one that's supposed to take care of me? Here he comes. Being led by the Spirit, in my opinion. The widow was gathering sticks. He called to her, please give me a little water in a jar that I might drink. We've actually seen this kind of introduction at times in Scripture. This is introduces himself in this way by giving me a glass of water. It's kind of interesting. Pastor Bill's laughing. He knows what I'm talking about. As she was going to get it, you know, sometimes we address one another hey, Bill, you know, hey, Shane, we'll talk to someone. There's no names here. This is interesting, isn't it? When you say good morning, it's good morning, Donna. Good morning, Sam. There's no names here. It's woman. Hey, woman. And I just find that funny, too. There's no names here. No one gets the glory. God gets the glory. Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. So she brings him a little water, goes and gets water, is going to bring it to him as she was going to get it. Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. So he's thirsty. He's hungry. But she said, as the Lord lives, what encounter did she have? It doesn't tell us. I'm just stirring your imagination to know that God will speak to anybody at any time. He'll come and visit you in dream of night. He'll come and give you vision. He'll knock on your door. He has your number. You think you have that secret passcode on your heart. He knows it. He's the ultimate black op. He can get right into your life and he can find out all your history. He knows it all. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. He knows it. So somehow, some way, it would be fascinating. Maybe you get to heaven, you can have a meeting with this lady and say, how did God do that for you? He knocked on her door, but she said, as the Lord lives, this again, jump, I have no bread. Look at her feet. I have no bread. And Jesus called himself the bread of life. He's taught the manna that came down from heaven that fed all of them in the wilderness every day, bread for them to. So bread is the sustenance. Sometimes you're the only loaf of bread that some people get in the world. They come and they come to your table. That's a Selah thought. Sometimes you're the only bread that they ever get that they can partake and eat of to be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're it. You're it, Pop. You're it. You're the bread. But she says, I have no bread. Let's go. Only a handful of flour. I got the ingredients for the bread. And in a bowl and a little oil in the jar, I have ingredients for bread. I told you about my bread episode a year ago. I watched them, these little children from across on the internet, little children making bread. I'm saying to Deb, how hard can this be? I get some flour out. I'm going to make some bread. I get some flour out. And I started mixing up some stuff. She's laughing at me already. And I put it in the oven. And it starts to rise. I put all the ingredients in there, just like that little child did. That looked a little, that loaf of bread came out of that oven, that little child making that looked so. My mouth was watering watching them on the YouTube doing that, right? I get out this drink. It doesn't look dark enough, Deb. I'm going to let it cook a little bit longer. And I'm letting it cook a little bit longer, right? And I get the bread out, and I think, and I pick it up, and it's light as a feather. It's just like picking up. And I took a knife. Ding! It was hard as a rock. How does this little child? All the ingredients were in there. I guess it was just in the fire too long. I have no idea what happened. I have no bread, only a handful of flour and oil in a jar. And I've never tried that again, by the way. Just letting you know. I'll let Deb make the bread. I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son. He meets this woman, this widow. She's a widow back in the old days when widows were widows and they had nothing and no one to depend on. She has a little flour. She has a little oil. She's gathering up sticks. This is her future. This is her future. I'm going to prepare for my son that we might eat it and die. This is it. It's lights out. After I, whatever I have, I'm going to make. And then we're going to die. When the sustenance is gone, it's gone. God comes to us sometimes when we're in dark moments and we think in despair and we don't know what our future is and we haven't been feeding on what God's future is for our life. And we'll come along and then he'll just have to send a servant to you to encourage you, to build you up, to tell you you have place and prominence and that you have purpose in life. He'll come to you and he'll visit you. Let's keep going here. Then Elijah said to her, now he's going to turn it on, see. This is the prophet speaking now. He's turning it on. Don't fear. This is what a man of God will tell you. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Go do as you have said. See, we're mixing up this idea of prophetic anointing speaking, but there is faith involved here. Do as you said. You do what you said you were going to do. But make me a cake from it first and bring it out to me. That, this is interesting. Wow, how selfish is he? I mean, you know, this is what we think in our natural mind. But that's not the case here, because sometimes when we go before the Lord, we have to give it all. There's times in ministry when you have to give it all. You just have to give it everything. This is interesting. Don't fear. You bring it out to me. Make me a cake first. Give me your first fruit of that little bit that's in the bottom of that bowl and that little oil in that jar. You bring me the first fruit of that. This is what's going to happen. Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, the bowl shall not be exhausted. And I don't mind if you feel like you want to interpret it this way. I do not interpret it this way. I think that there was always a little flour at the bottom of this bowl. Some might think exuberantly that God filled the bowl up, filled the oil up. There is a case when he did that, but I think that that bowl never changed its height. Give God what you have. The stories go into the New Testament. Jesus is going to feed the 5,000. He's going to feed the 4,000. He's going to feed the 7,000. What do you have? Lord, should we send these people away? I'm not trying to get off on another message. I'm just saying, where did the inspiration for miracle come from? Where does this inspiration for miracle come from when Jesus said, well, what do you have? Oh, woman, what do you have? I have this little flour. I have this little oil. Oh, Peter, what do you have? Well, here's this little boy here. I don't have anything personally, Peter. Peter says, I don't. Like he's thinking, I don't have anything, but here's this little boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Or is it 5 fishes and 2 loaves? It's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He brings them to Jesus, and it kept multiplying. There wasn't more fish. The fish was there. The loaves were there. They never ran out until everybody was satisfied. This bread, this flour, this oil was going to continue to be in her bowl and in her jar. Watch what he says. It shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends rain into the face of the earth. She went and did according to the word of Elisha. Again, you have to act on it. This is faith. This is what we do. We act on the word of God, and it shall come to pass. And she and her household, he and her household lived for many days. What's many days mean? I challenge Josiah with that all the time when we scripture. What's many days mean? I think we know from Jesus' testimony, we know from James' testimony, that we are in this window of time from the time it stopped raining, and we haven't got to a window of time where it started raining, so everything happening in this time is 3.5 years. This is what we know. This is what's written. This is what we already have hold of. This is a 3.5 period of time. So 3 years have probably already passed because we're sneaking up on the time when he's going to be a witness to him again. So the bowl and flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty according to the word of the Lord. He spoke through Elijah. Let's press on. It's the next day. It's the next month. It's not the next year. But I'm just simply saying, TikTok. TikTok, just like your life moves forward, his life was moving forward. And it came about after these things, after this miracle is continuing to happen, it didn't stop. It didn't stop because it didn't start raining yet. Once it starts raining, it's going to stop. But until then, here we go. After these things, the son of the woman, which is the point I was making last week, what we don't know yet, what's not in our mind yet, what Elijah didn't know yet. What this woman didn't know yet was that her son was going to die. This is the storyline. This is what we're moving into. And we're going to see another miracle of God here. And we're going to see judgment here. And we're going to wonder what's going on here. And be careful about how you speculate how God does things. Because don't we know the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy? Or is that just a New Testament thought? It's been from the beginning. I know Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you're like your father was in the beginning. He's a liar. He steals, he kills, he destroys. Even in the Old Testament, he comes to visit you. Even in the Old Testament. He became sick. His sickness was severe that there was no breath left in him. That's pretty severe. She said to Elijah, she's processing this. She's taking care of this man in her house, this stranger, but she knows he's a man of God. She knows this. But that assurance becomes stronger as we move through this dialogue. It becomes even stronger. You know, I've known men of God, and they've walked in character and in life, and it's now, I know now even more and more, that they are men of God and men of integrity because their character has stayed sure. You know that you know, and you trust in that. This is what kind of situation we're having here. So she said to Elijah, what do I have to do with you, O man of God? Who are you going to blame about your situation going sideways in life? Who are you going to blame? Or are you going to reach out in faith and believe God's promise to you? As a matter of fact, since you brought that up, what is God's promise to you? Do you know what you want to believe in? That he's promised you life and good things. And joy in your heart rises up. So this woman wasn't in the greatest place. She's holding her son. We'll see. She's holding her son. How old is he? I don't know. I think younger than you. I think younger than you. She's holding him in her arm. She's holding him. He can be lifted. He can be picked up. Here's we moving forward. What have I to do with you? Have you come to bring my iniquity to remembrance? You interpret that how you think. You know, I have my own thoughts on that matter. I'll move on. You put my son to death because of my iniquity. The consciousness of sin is an Old Testament thought for sure. Jesus came to take away the sin consciousness. The book of Romans makes that clear. That's the one thing that would be great if we could get rid of, the consciousness of sin in Christ Jesus. and the robe of righteousness, the gift of righteousness that he gives us, can take that and remove that from our lives. Every time we turn around, we think, oh, we're going to be judged for this and we're going to be judged for that. You can walk out, but if your heart condemns you, then repent. That's an easy solution. Your heart will guide you. Your spirit of the Lord will guide you. He will bring conviction to your life and truth to your life. Continue to feed on the word. This is what we do. Feed on the word. When the word of God corrects you, don't be a hardhead. Or I've heard people say before, don't be a knucklehead. Change. Allow the change of God to go into you and make you a different person. Form you and shape you to the man of God, to the woman of God that he wants you to be. He said to her, give me your son. So he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living. This was his abode, upstairs apartment. Beautiful thing. Probably had a big piano up there. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, Lord, my God, have you brought... He didn't know. He asked a lot. He prayed fervently to know these things. This is what James is telling us. Here's a man just like you. He prayed fervently and it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again and it brought rain on the earth. Just because these situations were coming up in Elisha's life, he didn't have all the answers, but he knew the one who did. He sought the Lord on this matter. Have you brought calamity on this widow with whom I'm staying by causing her son to die? It doesn't say, yeah, I did that. It doesn't say that. Or, no, I didn't do that. But watch what it does say. This is what it does say. Then stretched himself upon the child three times. Stretched himself. I know you've heard these stories before. You know the miraculous power of God. You've seen this before. He called upon the Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray, let this child's life return to him. I was reading this new book by Dale Armstrong. You all know Dale. He just published a new book. It's called Jesus is Alive. I don't know if you read it yet. Did you read it yet, Pastor Bill? But I'm sure he will, and it's a good book. So I started reading it. I'm not fitting a lot of books into my life right now, but this intrigued me. He's in the Philippines. He's told these stories before. He just lands. It was a horrific trip. It was a typhoon, a storm. The waves were swelling. This is chapter one. It's called Only Believe. I'm not trying to spoil it for you. Only Believe. This was the title of the book. Only Believe. He's there with another Christian man who takes him to the Philippines. And here he is. Finally makes it to this island where they were going to minister the word of God to this people. And they're meet and greet. They're fellowshipping with the people. And Dale's probably told us. I'm sure I've heard this story from him before. And I'm sorry to tell you a Dale story, but it fits into this situation. You know, here comes this man out of the jungle carrying his wife for 3 days. He carries his wife for 3 days out of the jungle. That's love. And help me, help me. The people know who he is. They all run to him. The woman couldn't, hardly any breath in her at all, couldn't open her eyes. What do we do? She'll never survive the 5-hour trip to the nearest medical facility. Never survive it. She'll never survive it. Dale's like, I'm the new guy on the block. Here I am in the Philippines. In the name of Jesus, he commanded death to come out of her. Commanded death to come out of her, and she opened her eyes. Did I say she sprung up and did a sprint around the village? No, she opened her eyes and strength began to come to her. And the guy that he's with, I'm making a big deal of this, but you have to be careful. You know, the guy that he's with, Pastor Bill's always careful about who he takes on mission trips. This is one of the reasons. I can't believe that. Why would you say that in front of Dale? Because I say that to you because you know Dale. Dale couldn't, he was speechless. He didn't say anything. So they threw her in a Jeep. They put her in a Jeep And they're taking her to the medical facility, and she starts, her strength is returning to her. You have to read the book. I can't remember what we said she started talking with, but they're ministering the word of salvation to her and to her husband, who carried her out from the jungle after 3 days' journey. This is in chapter one, Only Believe. And he keeps looking back, this other gentleman keeps looking back at the situation. He's like, I can't believe. And now Dale's decided he's going to say something, and so you'll have to read the book. He encourages him in the word is what he encourages him. Jairus, Jairus, oh, my daughter's sick. Only believe, only believe. This is where he gets the passage from. This is where the faith comes from. Only believe. This is an amazing story. It's been a good book so far. I don't have, you know, I'm in chapter two right now. It's been wonderful. Your son is alive. He brings the son downstairs and presents him alive. We've seen these stories in the New Testament. Back to her woman. Watch, back to his mother. Watch what happens. Then the woman of said to Elijah, verse 24, now I know that you are a man of God. Now I know. The kingdom of God does not exist in word and in deed. New Testament thought. There's spiritual world and there's a natural world. The spiritual world has its rules. It runs and is governed by these rules, these faith. This is in the spiritual world. There's weapons that we use, joy, thanksgiving, all these things, you know. You encourage yourself in your faith and you build yourself. Now I know that this, that you're a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth in truth. In truth. In truth. The word of God is in your mouth. This is what Brother Allen has been teaching of the weapons, you know, the armor. The armor of God, that's what he... Gird yourself with truth. This is what he did. This is what she saw. Now, it happened after many days. After many days, many more days. I don't know what that means, but it's many days. The Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go show yourself to Ahab. Third year of the drought. That's what he's talking about. Show yourself to Ahab. He got another word from the Lord. I'm not saying he moved out of her house, but I am saying he got another word from the Lord. He went down to talk to Ahab. I will send rain on the face of the earth. So Elijah went, showed himself to Ahab, and the famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Obadiah, a man who feared God. No, it's not the prophet Obadiah who wrote the prophetic book to a foreign nation, to Moab. That's a different Obadiah. This Obadiah was a man who feared the Lord. He trembled at the word of God. He was working for Ahab in his house. He feared the Lord greatly, for when Jezebel destroyed the prophets, there it is, Jezebel wanted to kill them all. All of them! Well, she come from a land where Baal was worshipped and not God. So if you're going to promote God, then we're getting rid of you. And this is that kind of Jezebel spirit that has lived around the world ever since. You're the problem. Christians are the problem in this world. But are we? Well, that's an encounter that we probably won't get through here. Obadiah took when Jezebel destroyed. This is what Obadiah did. This is part of his testimony. This is part of what he did for the Lord in his life. He did not agree with her. Obviously, was willing to defy her, but not to her face. He just took these prophets and hid them. 100 of them. How many prophets were in the land? If you read a few chapters before, you'll see some of them pop up. There were other prophets, significant prophets, I must say, significant prophets, but Elijah is someone who goes down in history. But these other prophets were just as important, did the word of God in their day, fulfilled the word of God in their day. They might have been some of the ones that were killed. We don't know that. Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs of water, to all the valley. Perhaps We will find grass and keep the horses and mules alive and not to have to kill some of our cattle. See, God will give us rain. This is where I'm going to end. I want you to see that Ahab is looking for grass. He is looking for water. He's looking for things. What you need is in God. He's the source of everything you need. So I just want to encourage you in that. There's so much to be said about Elijah, and I've taken very little time to explain this to you. Elijah was a man of God, and he continues to stay in the will of God, in the word of God, continues to receive words, and he influences his people in his time. If this would be a New Testament thought way back then, he was the light for these people. He was the salt of the earth. Amazing man of God.